prizes. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where we review games 20 years or older that you, the listener, chooses. Every week, we randomly pick a game submitted by the community to play, dissect, then discuss. But honestly, it's just an awesome excuse for us to play 20-year-old games in our spare time. I'm your host, the Nature Boy, B-Reezy. This week, we took to the 16-bit skies to help the UN pretty much just get oil. But before my co-host and I talk the talk, here's what's been a-happening here at Super Garbage Day Incorporated. As always, you can catch my first impression video of the week's game in the show notes so you can put a face to the name. Also, feel free to subscribe to the YouTube channel for future Garbage Day videos. Garbage Day? Super Garbage Day videos, not garbage videos. You can find that anywhere you want. This Friday night, I will be streaming Golden Axe Warrior for the first time. For the Patreon content, come check me out at Twitch at twitch.tv/supergarbageday, all one word, sometime in the PM Pacific Standard Time. I really don't have a time. This weekend, all our beloved supporters will get a new episode of Backlog Eternal and Retro Deep Cuts. So keep them eyes peeled on the Discord announcements and news channel for the drops. Also, join the Discord if you haven't. It's free. It's safe. Dope community of retro-loving misfits like you and I. With all that said and put aside, it's time for the retro question of the week. All right, MK Keith again. Here we go. MK Keith asks, what are your top must-play games for each console? Okay, well, let's go. NES, Tecmo Super Bowl, Super Nintendo, Legend of the Mystical Ninja, Genesis, Shinobi 3, Game Boy, Super Mario Land 2, Sega CD, Double Switch, PS1, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, N64, Super Mario 64, duh, Game Boy Advance, Metroid Fusion, PlayStation 2, Shadow of the Colossus, Xbox, Phantom Dust, trust me on this one, check out Phantom Dust, it's awesome. GameCube, Beautiful Joe 2, Dreamcast, Power Stone 2, baby, and PC. I'm going to give you two answers. The retro answer is Half-Life 2, and the current answer is, honestly, Outer Wilds. You got to check out Outer Wilds. It's really good. There you go, MK Keith, Mortal Kombat Keith, from the Main Quest. Hey, check out the Main Quest podcast. I'm always going to drop his stuff because we all love Keith. And he's a good dude, and a lot of stuff coming down the chute from his end, so please subscribe to his channel. I guess not channel, but podcast. Whatever, just subscribe to it, however you can. Now it's time to ask, what are you playing? Well, I'm about to start playing Golden Axe Warrior for the Sega Master System, since it won the poll for Backlog Eternal. And lately, thanks to the recommendation of Van Fernal, I have been playing The Messenger on my Steam Deck. And so far, a couple hours in, I don't know yet. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. But I don't hate it. So I guess we'll see what'll happen there. Anyways, let's jump right into this week's content, which is a game chosen, like every week is, from our Patreon pool, which is available at patreon.com/supergarbageday, one word. You can add a game once a month if you are a super trash brother. Also, shout out to everybody who's a patron. I love you guys. You make this keep happening, and I can't thank you enough. This is such a fun hobby, and one of these days I can quit this garbage job and just do this for a living. That is the American dream. Or just whatever dream in the world, the universe, I just want that to happen so bad. So maybe 4 years down the road, I can look back on this episode and be like, hey, we pulled it off. And it's thanks to you, all the OGs right now who are listening. Y'all is the reason that we even got there. Anyways, let's bring in my boy, Mr. Miller, to talk about this week's game, which is Super Strike Eagle on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah!
All right, Mr. Miller, I'm happy to have you back on our show. I'm happy that you are up in the land of ports making digital media the best it possibly can be. How have you been lately?
I've been good, man. City of Bridges has been nice. Other than the traffic, that drive is a...
I bet. I mean, just...
It's like 45 minutes both ways.
Really?
In like bumper to bumper traffic, yeah.
Oh, that's it's metropolitan life, dude.
Yeah, that 84 sucks, man.
Sorry to hear that, but it's all for the better, right? Like, it's better than the pizza place.
So, yeah, I mean, everything's better than that.
Yeah, man, we're all proud of you, and I'm glad you're here. So, let's talk about this week's game. And also, before we get into it, I'm going to send you a link here in a second. You're going to spin the wheel this week.
All right. I haven't spun that wheel in a long time.
Long old time, yeah. So... let's talk Super Strike Eagle. Let's talk first impressions. So,
yeah.
You have a history with this game.
Yes, I do. I loved this game growing up.
Yeah, you told me.
This was like my one of those. Anytime it was available at the rental store, I would pick it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was that game for me where I'm just like, oh, there's nothing new. Guess we're playing Strike Eagle again.
So let me ask you this. Is that interest in this due to the fact that you are a Air Force child and like you also served in the Air Force?
That's really what I mean. That's what it started as. Because when I was little, I really did kind of want to be a pilot. But as I grew up and realized it's not all Top Gun.
Right.
And the politics behind that type of a career field didn't really jive with my sensibilities. Especially with like how things have gone lately.
Well, especially like that level of being in the military seems like it's such a high echelon, you know, like to be in charge of like a million now billion-dollar aircraft probably.
I mean, I would have had to I mean, to be an officer, you have to first have a degree. So I would have had to finish a degree to get my commission and then go through officer school and then go through flight school. And so it's like it's a thing. Like, big props to my dad for committing to that.
No, that's way cool.
And it's funny because this is the air. Well, not the same model, but the same airframe that he flies.
Right. And so there's this big argument I've seen about the Navy versus Air Force when it comes to like aircraft carriers. And I think this game also brought up this question to me, which I didn't realize other till this week of playing the game. Apparently the aircrafts on battleships belong to the Navy.
Yes.
And so like aircrafts otherwise are Air Force.
Yeah. That's why we have a million Air Force bases all over the world.
Haha. Makes sense.
Because very rarely will you put Air Force machinery on a carrier because they're not built for it.
Right.
You can like the F-16, they'll put on carriers, but usually they just use the F-18 because it's a superior aircraft. And the F-18 is basically the Navy's replacement for the F-14, which was the answer to the F-15. But the F-15 is still, in my mind and in many other people's mind, the primo air dominance or air superiority fighter that we possess currently, even with like the fifth gen.
That's crazy to think too, because this game dips into those realms of like kind of like simulation, you know, and mm-hmm. realism. I looked further into it after playing it this week. That like I was like, well, that's weird that like the you think about that, there's a part of this game where you're looking at it from the cockpit view. I'm like, wow, it's not like you don't see the ships. And by ships, I mean like the other aircrafts, like in full frame. And then I looked into it. I guess like in actual air combat, you wouldn't even see the other person, right?
If you're close enough to make out details, like you're in gun range. Most of the time, when you're dealing with stuff, you're looking for a tiny little dot in the blue, and you want to get your target lock and hopefully down them before they like the real dogfighting starts.
So interesting. So, your first impression of this game when you first had it sounds like it was amazing. Like you obviously it was a re-rental. You revisited this.
Yeah.
Tell me more about this.
Well, because it was like when at first when I got it, and booted it up, like it actually looks really good for a flight sim of the era. It was something I was interested in because my father was actually actively in the second Gulf War. While I was playing this game, so it was kind of like I'm doing what Dad's doing. Although I'm pretty sure this one's set during the first Gulf War.
That's weird though. The setting is very bizarre because I looked at like the enemies and levels, and I thought like, it jumps around a lot to a lot of America's enemies in the last like 50 years. But
yeah, but it was also a really good one because my brother was young but still wanted to play with me at the time, and I don't know if you got to experience this, but it actually has a two-player variant where the second player is what we call the Wizza, which is the weapons officer, and so he would control all the guns and stuff, and I would do all the flying, and so it was a good, like, we can still play together, but him being younger, he doesn't have to do all the really complicated stuff.
So wait, this game specifically has that option?
Yeah,
it doesn't even tell you that on the title screen.
If you just plug in a second controller at any time, the player two can just take over the weapons controls.
That's crazy, dude. I got major simulation feelings from this game, but I didn't even know that was a part of it. Like that's literally out of all the research I've done all week after playing it and everything, I didn't even know that was a part of the game. It blows my mind. So
yeah, it was really cool too, because there was a time when my dad was actually like watching us and he's just like, oh, you guys must be flying an E because I don't have a Wizzo. I got to do everything myself. And
I was like, bro, as a dad, if I would have walked into something like that, I'd been like, I did a good job. Like internally, I'd have been like, oh yeah, heck yeah, my kids are into what I do, hell yeah. I mean, even though he wasn't like a flight commander, or I'm not sure what the term is, but that's cool though that it all came full circle in your family. But like my experience with the game, first off, was it's different. It's different from flight simulators, and a lot of times, you know, like I'm a child that has this hangover of the Top Gun NES era, where it's just literally that screen, or how about Infiltrator, right? Like it's
right.
I'm not surprised that you were like, oh yeah, let's talk about this game after how well I saw you do with Infiltrator. But
just sit down like controls, okay, I got it, let's go.
Totally. But you can watch the first impression videos, people listening, or the first impression video of this, where I'm like, wow, this is so much going on immediately without like a lot of explanation. Like they give you kind of like a briefing, and then you kind of are thrown into it, and then it goes from so many different angles, or should I say like it changes. There's three different types of ways to play this game, not to play, but like that happens within it. And it's like the launch.
Yeah, the launch, there's the top down, like navigating to your mission, basically.
Yeah. App,
and then there's combat.
Which is interesting to me because I think I can't think of any other game, especially around this time period, that attempted to like blend those together. But this game really like pushes realism, I think. Even in a sense of when you like shoot somebody down, I found out later, like the term they use is the actual term, which is, I think it's, I kept joking at like bogey snarf.
Oh yeah. Bogey snarf.
So bandit splashed is the term they use in the game to identify that an enemy has been shot down. And I found out that's kind of actually accurate.
I think that's specifically if it's like, over water.
Okay. That makes sense.
That might not be correct.
No, that makes sense because splash.
Yeah.
I found it to be funny. In my first play video, I couldn't tell what they were saying at first. So I was just like making a joke about it. But then I realized later, I was like, oh, that's the actual term they use, which is okay. Interesting. Makes sense.
Well, no, it's over land or sea. Yeah. It just
bandit splash.
Yeah. I bet you it came from World War II. I guarantee you it came from the
Pacific. 100% came from World War II. And you think about these their planes in like modern day combat versus World War II era. Like you think about the G's that are used. Or the speed. You think back then 300 miles per hour versus like what, 2 G's or whatever, like they would smoke them. And I think
G's,
about like
G's actually calculate are the calculation of the multiples of gravitational impact on your body.
Oh, I definitely have no trust me, I don't know what I'm talking about, but yeah, I'm trying my best.
Mach is what is used
for Mach sea, typically. It's what I meant.
Mach 1 would be, it's like 700 something miles an hour. It's the sound barrier.
Gotcha. But it makes more sense to this game that it uses, when you're in that fight or that fight flight simulator part, that you don't really see the ships in front of you only in like certain frames and you shoot. Then I realized that's pretty much how it probably is, where like you just lock on, you get trajectory, you aim the missile, you shoot, and then you kind of like, it's so far ahead of you. It's not like World War II where you can literally see the enemy in front of you and you're like shooting at each other. Interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of trying to outsmart their countermeasures is really what you're doing. You want to get up on them fast and without time for them to arm their chaff or their flares, depending on what you're using to guide your missiles.
And we're going to talk about that. Actually, we should talk about that right now in gameplay. So the game is pretty much trying to simulate and replicate being a air fighter during, I guess, the Gulf War would be
that's what I took away from it. Yeah.
And there's also like different levels that kind of show off like Syria and Korea and past conflicts that aren't current conflicts, but I thought it was interesting.
Right. They just kind of just like took the grab bag of the Rogues Gallery of America and were just like, we're making a game about it.
Right. And it's trying to be different. It's MicroProse, which a company that has been hit or miss throughout their career with different titles. I think we've covered a couple of them in this show, but this title in particular is really interesting because it takes the idea of being an air fighter and it really tries to simplify it, but also contain it and like also being a simulation. It's hard for me to explain. It felt like a simulation arcade game.
That is a genre. It's an arcade style simulator.
Exactly. Which I don't think existed. I'm unaware of at this point.
It did for the PC. There was a game I played almost religiously called Hellcats.
Oh.
That was a very good World War II simulator, but it had some arcadey aspects.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, you could refuel by just doing a flyover of the airfield. You just got to get low enough instead of actually having to land.
Unlike this game, where if you have to refuel, it's a whole to do.
That's, I mean, honestly, the hardest part of the game.
It really is. And so ultimately, the gameplay in this game is you are given a mission, you're briefed on targets, and then you are you're supposed to take off. You're given multiple like screens that like are different types of control. You have your land and or your takeoff and land screen. You have like your piloting like up top screen that kind of reminds me of being on a plane and looking at like when you're going to land kind of thing. You know?
It's the Indiana Jones, man. They should have just had like the little dot following you as or the little dots following you as you jet set across the Gulf.
Right. Then you have like the you go into like your fight mode when you come across planes, and then you have to actually like And it shows everything. It's just like Infiltrator. I hate using this as an example, but it's the most recent. Where it's like you're actually fighting, dogfighting, and you have to like figure out, like get close. It does a good job in that area, I think. Like that the dogfighting area is really well done. I think of all the three, I'm going to call them three areas. Once you're past that, though, you get to your target and it comes into this like mode. It's so weird.
Ugly. The isometric, like, yeah, it's like perspective.
It's overhead mode 7, kind of crazy, but it works. Like control wise, it works, but
it's a lot. It's similar to the takeoff and landing stage,
right?
Only with just it has more of an ISO.
Well, tilt, it's directly overhead, and like you see below you, you see like the terrain, and the terrain changes depending on where you are at on the island. I think it's funny on the first level, the tutorial level, like you see like, and now I realize later now that it was tutorial level. I thought it was first level, but it wasn't. It was tutorial level, and I'm like, okay, I'll give it some I'll let it slide because I see like a desert and I see mountains and like ice. I'm like, what's this, I'm flying over the same continent? What is going on here? But you're supposed to shoot out these targets that are assigned to you that happens in that mode. And while you're being shot at from the ground, also while trying to maintain your fuel levels, your ammunition load, and trying not to be intercepted by other like enemy aircrafts, which will actually activate another viewpoint going back into like the old school NES, I guess, Top Gun viewpoint of shooting. I can't think of the name of it. Like cockpit, I guess. I'll call it cockpit. And you're supposed to take out the objective is to take out these areas, and then you come back and you have to land. So everything actually is pretty fun, I think, and pretty easy to do until the landing part.
Yep. As soon as I saw you, I was like, so, how's that landing going?
Yeah, you asked me about that. And I was like, that's better than Top Gun on the NES, because that wasn't fun. But I did pull it off once. Just let you know. I've replayed that first level so many times, and I pulled it off once and got to the second level. And then I was like, oh my God, you're able to go back and refuel, and like, if you're in bad condition, if you have taken too much damage, or you're running out of bullets or fuel, you can go back to your fucking warship and land and like refuel and take off. But like, that is the hardest part of the entire game. Everything else is kind of like you figure it out quickly. That part is hard.
There's also a real world like reason why that's so hard. Is the F-15 is not designed to take off and land on a carrier.
So it's not the right airship for like that.
No, you do not this airframe does not go on carriers. It's too big and it's too fast. And the arresting cables that it has arresting cables for, you know, if there's a runway that's shorter or something.
Right.
But you can if you absolutely have to, you could probably land in an F-15 on a carrier. But you're probably going to blow out your landing gear. They're going to put out a fire of some sort.
Interesting. And
you're probably just going to not get back in that same plane again.
So what plane should they have used in this situation?
An F-18. I don't think the F-18 would be the Navy equivalent. But if they had a contract with the Air Force,
right,
to do the 15, because I mean it's the thing that was used in Desert Storm a lot, but we mostly took them off from local airfields.
So they were not landing on warships.
They're not landing on warships. No, that would have been the other support craft. That would have been the 16s and the 18s and stuff like that doing that.
So ultimately this game is kind of just like doing like kind of giving you the American dream of being like a air fighter, but it's not realistic when you get out to logistics.
They also were just like, you know, they did it in the Top Gun game, we should probably do it too.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, but is it, they did it better. I mean, obviously 16-bit and.
Mm-hmm. But it gives you, it also, you know, it breaks up the gameplay loop a little bit. You're not always landing on the same airfield there, you know.
No,
it
yeah.
It gives you options too, because there are airfields on the map and sometimes you just can't get to them depending on where your mission was.
Which is crazy too, because the missions also vary from there's not many, I think there's like 6 levels or 8 levels, but it's like nighttime and daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the what nighttime levels seem like significantly harder.
What they, well, because they are.
Would make sense. No.
Yeah.
And it kind of leans into the simulation factor of this game. It's an interesting game because it's really pushing this simulation narrative that I think is like too much for a child.
Yeah. No, this was meant for either a pilot or somebody who wishes they were a pilot, like that was an adult
who was in the know.
Yeah. Going back to the carrier thing, just a brief thing, what they should have done is taken that part out and had aerial refueling as your other option.
Right. Which happens in Top Gun.
which would have been also, I feel, would have been just a more fun loop, because then you just like, now you got to go find your KC-135 and refuel while you're in a combat zone, which could be cool.
Well, I think they could have implemented pretty easily too, because since they had all the, like, you see all the enemies on the top down section and mm-hmm. you could see like a plane that's like a different color and be like, oh, this is the refuel jet. And you go right. to that and you can yeah, have a I whole mean, little different.
You make it bigger. Like you just make it look like, yeah, you just have it, the KC-135 sprite. That's the best thing about most of these airframes is they have very, very distinguishable silhouettes.
That makes sense. But also, like, I think the enemy jets and shit, I mean, they're all just very generic, though. They don't. The game was kind of just being samey after a while. So
it's kind of the era. It's you're fighting just MiGs.
Yeah. And I realized what a MiG was really quickly, because at first, in the first impression video, I'm like, what is a MiG? I don't get that. And then yeah. later on, I'm like, okay, yeah, now I know. But
was the Russian plane at the time.
Yes, which it's so crazy to me, too, because this game, the gameplay tries to blend simulation with arcade, but also be approachable. But this is definitely a game that if you don't have a manual, you are not going to know what to do unless you're in the know whatsoever. It is so complicated, but not on a level of like Infiltrator complicated, but like a step above that.
Yeah.
But I it took me a while to kind of figure out what I was doing, but once I got it, it clicked. So I give the game that, like, I was able to figure out like, okay, figure out the map, figure out like accelerate, decelerate, or throttle, I should say, my weapons, what they do, how to like shoot away missiles at me and all this stuff. And the more I progressed, I was like, okay, I'm feeling it. I get it. It's kind of well made, but it's also very niche.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, speaking of throttle up, throttle down, with the F-15, there are three options: on, afterburner, and I need to land.
Well, I was constantly an afterburner on the game because I was like, I need to get the hell out of this situation.
If you aren't going fast, man, what's the point?
Right.
Speed is life.
Yeah. And it's pretty much that's the gameplay loop, is that they give you a mission. You start on a ship. You go to a certain island or some kind of some area. And then you take out the targets. Meanwhile, you have to you might have to dodge or intercept enemy ships, airships, not airships, but other fighters. And then you come back and land, which is always the hardest part. So I figured like by the end, if anybody makes it to like the last level, they're probably really good at landing.
Yeah. As long as you can walk away from it, man, it's a good landing.
And that's the thing is like, other than that, it's actually kind of cool and kind of like it's, I think it's a good blend of arcade and simulation. Like it was going the right direction, which a lot of publishers weren't doing, I think, around this time, unless they were on PC. And to me, it's kind of cool to see them like really flex the NES, or I'm sorry, the SNES to its max. Like it really used that FX chip as hard as it could, and almost on all levels. But actually, let's talk about that. Let's talk about graphics and audio. So it's kind of ugly and pretty. Like the game is a mixture of being beautiful and like god awful.
It's got the last level of Pilot Wings when you're doing the mission stuff.
I called it ActRaisering in my first play.
Yeah, but ActRaiser was beautiful.
Well, I mean the part when you're like zooming down into where you're gonna fight. Like I was like,
very
similar.
But it's got that feel. It really reminds me of the last level of Pilot Wings when you're flying the helicopter.
Oh yeah, and in Vietnam.
but yeah, the dogfighting, even though it's probably my favorite part of the game.
It was mine too, actually, to be honest.
There's not a lot you can really do if you're trying to go for that more simulatory feel. Cuz you know, it's wide open sky. And because it's not like, you know, they're able to do like volumetric clouds and stuff we could do today. And so you're just looking for that. You're looking for that dot to lock onto. But at least the cockpit looks good.
It does. And it also shows you everything in the cockpit. The HUD works well because it showed me like where my throttle was at. It showed me where like my fuel was at. Anytime I was using any like missile or bullets, I was very aware of what was going on. It was just like it was hard to navigate sometimes. I was frustrated with some instances where I kept jumping in between a dogfight and just like the main like overview map. And it kept happening so much. Sometimes it happened like three way where I'd be like over an island where I'm supposed to have a mission. And then I like go into a dogfight that I wasn't trying to go into. And then come out of that and go right into like the overhead view and then be like, oh my God, I'm like whiplash of like changing things so much.
Yeah. It is funny now. I'm like looking at this cockpit and just remember I'm like, yeah, that doesn't look like the F-15 cockpit. But that's to be expected. That's to be expected though, because also they wouldn't want to be like, all right, we just trained the Russians how to fly these babies by releasing a video game.
Well, we were all about it though. We were like, yes, especially like post Top Gun, we're all about it.
This was the heyday for like a game like this.
Absolutely,
it was when we were still the good guys. Everyone, you know, raised their flags and shot their guns with pride. And now it's not, you know, you don't get looked at like you're a psychopath.
Also interesting with the graphics in this game is that they use like actual flags of countries. And I was like, interesting. Well, it's kind of controversial.
Spicy takes. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when you die and like they play taps and then you have like the mid rise, or I don't know what the term is, but it's like the UN flags. And I'm like, what's going on here? And it plays like the worst version of taps I've ever heard. Also, the audio here is not remarkable, by the way.
I do have to say, this is a put on Danger Zone game. Because you got to have something going on in the background because there's not a lot going on.
Yeah, it's just noises. And it's like, it's not good. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know the resolution to fix that other than maybe
not release it, not try and emulate actual sounds in with the technology they have.
All the sounds are bad. Yeah, I think every single sound in the game is bad. And
the incessant whine of the engine. And
they it's bad. Like everything fell very short of realism when it came to sound effects, and the music that's barely there is also kind of laughable. So, I mean, it wasn't the strong point for the developers, but I think that the focus really was on the simulation of it. And
yeah,
the graphics nothing
audio wise is actually giving you any cues or anything. You don't need it.
Right.
So It's like, other than maybe if you're blind and you can't see that somebody's getting a lock on you, because there's the big flashing red lights.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
it's, but like, you get a lot of visual cues.
Mm-hmm.
For everything,
which is, I mean, it's just redundancy. It's just how all this stuff is built. That's
so I can forgive that, but also I don't know. It's just, it's weird.
Nah, they should have put in some sort of like pumping soundtrack or something.
I don't know if they could. Like, it's such a weird game. It's honestly just actually a bizarre game. It's different.
You know what? They might have not had. Now that I think about it, that could be right. They might have been pushing that. What they can do, that they just ran out of space for any sort of.
I can guarantee you they did that because, or that was the problem, because there was no save function. It was all like, if you died, you go right to the after it shows you your high score and like the credits, you go right back to the main screen and you can like put in a password. And I'm like, this is a game that should not have passwords.
Yeah.
At all. This should be like a save game for sure. But they didn't add that to it. So that also makes me think like they were pushing it to its limits. And they went like, they focused primarily on its engine and like the different types of engines it had. And also its graphics, because it, like I stated, that it showed a little bit of, well, it was really super FX chippy the whole entire time, but also kind of like there were sections that seemed a little Donkey Kong Country-ish. It's all all these terms sound crazy, but I mean, tell they were pushing it visually to the limit. And so like they had to go a password system. I don't think they had room.
That F-15 sprite though is spot on.
It's good. I brought that up. I was like, it's they did good on that, especially in the intro when when you fire it up, it shows it from like not just the side and top angle, but like when you're in that area of the game where you had like, I wish you could drop bombs. Why can't you drop bombs in that area? Why do you have to nosedive and shoot? I hated that, but I thought it looked good. But also we're comparing it to like the backdrop, which looks like garbage. Like, I mean, the landscapes look terrible.
You do get bombs. Did you not equip them?
Apparently I did not. I went full like dive bomb shoot.
Yeah, because you can equip air to ground. You can equip air to air. You can equip bombs. There is a mission where you actually have to drop a nuke.
I didn't get that far, but that sounds awesome.
Yes, it's actually a wild. It's a wild mission because you drop it, and if you're too low and you don't have enough afterburner,
it kills you.
Then it's just game over. Yeah,
that's funny.
That's cool. You just have to nose up and just punch it to get out of the blast radius.
That's pretty awesome. I give it credit for that. The game is trying its best to be real, and it's doing it in like a kind of a not real way, but from graphics and audio standpoint, it's doing its best. I feel like it's pushing the Super Nintendo to its limits, or it's trying to. Not with audio, but visually, yes, I see. Like it's very interesting. Like it actually would be, obviously, it would be a terrible arcade game because it's too complicated. But if they were to simplify it down a little bit, it would have been a great arcade game, I think. Maybe take out like the dogfight part.
It would have been a really good. I would take out the rest of it and make it just a dogfighting game.
But that's every arcade like F-14 game ever made.
That's all I was thinking of. I was like, just make a cockpit, sit in that.
I'm thinking do the opposite, get rid of the cockpit part and make it like a completely different type of arcade game, but I don't know, we're speaking in fucking different dimensions at this point. So Super Strike Eagle is weird. Let's give our verdict on it. I'm really, really curious about your verdict. So Mr. Miller, tell me how you feel about this game now.
Well, I mean, this game, like I said, it is a big part of my childhood.
Right.
Played it a lot. But it does have its drawbacks. there are some limitations, and in the end, if you weren't obsessed with the F-15 Eagle, it might not really like ring as hard a bell as it did for me. But I mean, with that, I give it a solid B.
Okay.
It's not like the greatest game of its kind. It tried to do a lot, but if you really like the F-15, man.
Well, I mean, like that's the thing though. I think it was built, the game was created for somebody, I think, and you're the demographic, you know?
Right.
Which was everybody at that time period, especially like during, you know, post Cold War, going to the Gulf War. So like, you know, cool fighter jets are the thing. My take on it is, I've never liked these kind of games. I really haven't. I've never found one that clicked with me that I've been obsessed with. I saw what this game was trying to do, and I give it credit for it trying to be different and set itself aside from other games. During this time, the Genesis was also had games like I think it's a game called Air Diver that specifically focused on that like cockpit view, but trying to make it really ridiculous. Then you have games like the NES Top Gun, which would also do the same thing, but also had a little bit of realism simulation. I give Super Strike Eagle the credit for trying something different and mixing it all together. And they did a decent job at that. But it's not my game, and I'm just not into this stuff. But I did have kind of a little bit of fun, so I'm gonna put it about, I'll be honest, like a C plus.
Hey, because you know what? That's fair.
I don't like these kind of games, but this game actually, I came back to it. I played it a lot this week, and I was like, all right, I get the idea of what I'm supposed to do, and it's kind of cool that it changes up. So that helps my ADHD mind. If it was like the same thing, if it was one of the three views in the game the entire time, I'd be like, F, I don't like this. But the fact that it changes up and you have to actually kind of like focus entirely on not just that, but like your resources, outside of having to land on the ship at the end or in the middle of missions to refuel and all that. I think they did a good job of like changing up that genre, even though it wasn't really established as a genre at that time. So it gets a C plus from me. Super Strike Eagle on the Super NES is decent.
Decent.
It's decent. All right. I'm sending you the Wheel of Retro right now, buddy. Let's go.
It's time to spin that wheel.
Oh no, why are you laughing? What is it?
It was almost something that I know is hot garbage. This one I'm not so sure I've heard of this.
Really? Okay. What is it? I'm like on the edge of my seat. Come on, man. What is it?
Knights of the Round.
Knights of the Round? On what system?
Yeah. It doesn't say.
I think that might be Super Nintendo, but we'll find out. Or PC. I don't know.
Knights of the Round video game.
All right. Join us next week for Knights of the Round.
It's an arcade game.
It's arcade?
It was on the Super Nintendo. It was
okay.
On
the Super Nintendo. It's probably the SNES version then.
Yeah, yep.
Nice.
Let's see. This looks like Golden Axe kinda.
I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it.
You play as the Knights of the Round Table. I'm looking at King Arthur, Lancelot. There's a black guy that's not named.
Well, that's the game that we're going to play this week. So if you want to come back next week and talk about this game,
I might have to try and get this running because this looks up my alley.
Right on. All right. Knights of the Round is our game next week. Thank you, Mr. Miller, for coming all the way from Portland and talking about Super Strike Eagle. Join our Patreon if you want to. It is $2 to get bonus material, which is retro deep cuts, which is like top tens and cool conversations, and also Backlog Eternal, which is just trying to complete games in the backlog that the community picks on our Discord. Join our Discord as well. Everything I'm saying is in the show notes, so just go down there, click the link, and have fun, because we are having fun. Mr. Miller, it is such a pleasure to have you back here and us talking about retro games, man. I love you and I miss you.
Miss you too, buddy.
And I hope the best in the future. I don't know what, I'm not going to leave that in. All right. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Let's cut to B. Bye.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.